welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Sunday, June 5th, 2011. I'm Sam Minter, and once again this week I have Yvonne Bo with me. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello.
Yvonne's dragging a little bit today. This morning.
Well, that's what happens when, you decide to well, we weren't planning this yesterday. We just went out to have dinner and like to hang out, and then somehow this turned into us getting home like as the sun's coming up this morning, and then me thinking for some reason that that it was Monday instead of Sunday. But anyway, all right, I'm here.
Yes,
good up. So. So we've got a whole bunch of really exciting topics.
Are you just sleep deprived, or are you also hungover?
Oh, I'm a little bit hungover. Not too much, but yeah, I'm a little bit hungover.
Okay. So we do have some exciting stuff. As I mentioned on last week's show, since we haven't done it for a while, we're going to do a somewhat tech-heavy show this week. And with WWDC probably happening between when we record this and when I put it out, next week's probably going to be tech-heavy too. WWDC, of course, Apple announces a bunch of stuff, usually. We're going to talk about a few things here. Yvonne made... Noticed the D conference, a bunch of tech CEOs talking about a variety of interesting things. We had a preview of Windows 8. We had the WHO coming out with its little announcement about the categorization of cell phone cancer risk. And then, there's usual, well, this might fold into the other stuff, but, Apple's market cap passed Microsoft plus Intel, which a lot of people made note of. And, of course, we do have WWDC coming up, and we might talk about some of the rumors, but I imagine we'll go light on that since we'll have more to talk about it after it actually happens next week. So, first, now, you noted this thing about the D conference. I actually hadn't paid much attention to this. First of all, what is the D conference, and then who are the major people who had something interesting to say?
Well, a lot of people had a whole bunch of interesting stuff to say. And some of the stuff, I mean, maybe it was interesting in the sense of being just a little bit wacky. Okay, I was just looking at one, like the Adobe CEO, for example, went and pronounced that the iPad's days are numbered. For example,
well, what's interesting, I did see like today. Like this morning, I was looking at some news and noticed that somebody from Adobe said, all that stuff with Apple, it's over. There's a truce. We're all happy now. I guess not.
Right. That's exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because
in the same tone. Right. Yet a few days earlier, he's like saying, that. Let me see where it says here. The value proposition Flash is that we allow people to author programs once and get to as many devices as possible. We've done that with Android. We will have 130 million phone devices that will have Flash on them by the end of the year. And then Walt Mossberg decided to just kick the Adobe CEO in the balls by saying, and I have yet to test a single one where Flash works really well. I'm sorry. Okay. All right. So, so he said a note over here by the author is like, note to lesser tech CEOs when being interviewed by Mossberg, wear a cup. So, it's like he was like there was two things that happened over at the conference that I think were the two big ones that got a lot of chuckles. One was Adobe CEO talking about Acrobat and Flash and, not noticing that almost everybody that showed up over there, including Microsoft itself, was developing apps and stuff, whatever, using HTML5 and JavaScript and other technologies and basically just completely ignoring that shit, okay? A number of people said, these guys seem to be clinging to the past and just not realizing that all this shit is moving past them and this kind of, like, stuff that they're trying to, you know, hold on to is just not going to be there anymore. Mm. So that was one thing. On the other hand, you know, people were making fun of HP CEO, in which he said pretty much that he believed, I mean, a number of people said that that HP was going to be number one on the tablet market, like next year. Or that, you know, about him building an entire ecosystem just like Apple's, like it'll be ready this year. Basically, I mean, a lot of like quite the hard chest thumping about, you know, the WebOS tablets, which, let's face it, it's not even out, okay?
Right.
You know? And I'm like, you know, so you're already proclaiming that you're going to fucking overtake the entire market when Apple right now has 82% of the market and your shit isn't even out? You know? So a lot of people thought that that was just a little bit...
over the top.
And let's put it... over. Oh, yeah. And so, let's look at the numbers right now. But at the same time,
I mean, what the hell do you expect him to say? We're going to put out a tablet and it's going to suck and nobody's going to buy it?
Well, I totally agree with you, too. I mean, you know, now, I mean, however, I mean, one thing is like, you know, you're just about to enter the market and like to pronounce that you're going to, you know, be in and be competitive.
Is putting expectations way high as opposed to,
right.
You know, most people in a lot of these things, it's like, and not just in the tech world, but just in general, like you lower expectations first and then you exceed them. You know, you always try to set expectations at a level that you feel incredibly confident that, like, you would have to really screw up to not meet those expectations. And then you beat them.
Right. And I do believe that there is quite a lot more room for many vendors to be selling these products, okay? I mean, Apple does have this advantage with the ecosystem that they've built right now and so forth. But, I mean, look at the Android phones and how they've risen in the last 24 months. You know, certainly, I think that there's room for a few more of those.
Well, I mean, the last time we talked about this, which was like 3 or 4 weeks ago, I forget, but... You know, I'd mentioned, look, this space is such where the main differentiator here is not the hardware. You know, I mean, yes, Apple's hardware looks a little slicker, but, you know, the main thing here is the software and how it's organized and whether, you know, the people putting it together sort of get it. And that's something that, you know, could turn around in a heartbeat. You know, somebody releases something that actually is really damn good and does all the same things that iOS does well and also does them well and then does some other stuff cool that iOS doesn't do. And this could flip around relatively quickly. Now, yes, I think Apple does have a huge built-in advantage by, you know, how much its stuff locks people in and how much of a head start they have. So even if somebody does come up with something awesome, they're going to have a hard time, but it could be done. The problem is everything so far has sucked.
Yeah, but I think that, I mean, think about a little bit about what you're locked into. I mean, what, your music or maybe your video, maybe your video content, that's the one to maybe a little bit, but I don't know. I mean, I'm like, I don't
No, I mean, what you're locked into I mean, yes, some of it's the music, video, blah, 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 all that content can be a pain in the ass. But, yeah, the real thing is the apps. Is, like, you get used to having a certain set of apps that operate in a certain way. And, you know, somebody new coming into the game has to not just have a new phone that's just as good out of the box as an iPhone or an iPad is out of the box. They have to have something that has equivalence or better of everything that you use currently, if you're already a user. Now, in the tablet space, there are a lot of people who aren't yet users of anything. And then, of course, those users have lock-in.
I think the one thing also that it's just, I think, is shown that is important, it's just the pricing as well, okay? The pricing and the you know, look, who was it that made an offer this year? Liberty Media made an offer for Barnes & Noble a couple of weeks ago, okay, to buy them up. The main reason they want to buy them up is because the Nook is selling so well, okay? You know, they have a product that is not anywhere near
this. And they put out a new model this week too, by the way.
Right, and they put out a new model, and they have a product that is nowhere nearly as a slick, but it's nowhere nearly as expensive as the iPad. However, they are doing it at a price point with sufficient features and things that people are snapping up millions of them, okay, because at a price point. So certainly, you know, it's been shown that you can have a product at a good competitive price point at a different location to where Apple is, that you can be competitive. However, it seems like a lot of the new products that came out, the Playbook, the Motorola Zoom, and all these, were trying to be a direct Apple imitator, but yet pricier or with less features or shit like that. I mean, let's face it, the frickin' Playbook, I mean, it won't work if you don't have, right now, if you don't want to have a fucking BlackBerry, for God's sakes. I mean, you know, the Zoom from Motorola came out to go head-to-head against the iPad, which has 80% market share, and then they priced themselves like about 20% more expensive than the frickin' iPad. I mean, you're like, well, why the fuck am I going to buy this thing?
Okay, so we've talked about tablets a bunch. What else came out of D that was interesting?
Well, I think the one thing that was very interesting in my perspective was the fact that, you know, Microsoft went and, like, went from XP to Vista. I don't know how many years. Let's face it, Vista was a fucking colossal disaster, okay? Then two more years and came out with Windows 7, which basically was just simply to fix all the shit that they did wrong in Vista in the first place, which they managed to do. And it's a pretty decent OS, especially compared to the previous, you know, I mean, load of crap that they released earlier, okay? So then, right now, they are previewing Windows 8. Now, I saw the previews of Windows 8, and it looks like a freaking... It looks like it heavily borrowed from, say, a iPad's type of way of organizing information. It's touch-enabled. It's the start screen really looks like the start screen, the way that it's organized like on an iPad, uh-huh, except with live icons with the display information. It's a very radical change.
I mean, it's also going off a little bit of the new Windows Phone OS, right, with like tiles and,
yes, and yes,
things like that.
Very much so.
And
have you... Have you had a chance to play with that phone?
Not for more than a couple seconds. I think I walked by one in a Microsoft store.
Okay.
So I don't know. Oh, have you?
I played with it this about the same amount of time, just a few seconds. I saw somebody actually. I did see a little bit more of it, not by me playing, but I had somebody at the office that had one.
Uh-huh.
And they actually said that they liked it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, which is quite a first for somebody who purchased a Windows phone, to be honest with you.
Well, you know, the thing is, I'm wondering, because frankly, Apple's Lion is also one of its features is starting to take cues from iOS and the iPad and trying to bring some of more of that stuff to the desktop. And I'm not sure about that trend. I mean, we'll see how it goes. I understand the desire to sort of have something similar, but I'm not sure that the way I interact with my desktop is similar enough to how I would interact with a handheld tablet or phone that I want to have the same kind of UI stuff in both places. I mean, I gather in both places they're not, you know, completely like, you know, your desktop computer will not be an iPad. You're not going to be touching your screen all the time. But they're trying to make it so that it sort of all flows together, and maybe sometimes you can touch your screen, but you can also use a mouse. And I think they're looking towards convertibles as well that are like...
There you go. Okay. Sorry.
Did you hang up on me?
No, I couldn't hear you, and I started hitting buttons.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway,
You were saying that you're not sure you want to interact with your computer in the same way that you interact with your phone or with your or with your tablet.
And I can see that.
I understand that.
I don't think they're going to try to force you to do exactly the same thing. I mean, my 30-inch desktop monitor, I'm not going to be, like, touching it in the same way I touch a tablet. I don't know. But not a touch screen.
Like, right now, let's face it. There are certain situations for which touch is nice, but there's a whole bunch of others where it isn't. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I make a whole bunch of mistakes tapping and going on my freaking iPad and, like, freaking tapping on the wrong thing on the screen. Uh-huh. Okay? And then going, like, oh, shit, I tapped on the wrong thing. Let me go back. You know? And not that I dislike the touch, because, I mean, it does have certain advantages for certain things. But yet at the same time, I'm like, you know, for certain things, it is easier – more accurate to interface with just a mouse.
And it all depends on what you're doing. And I gather some of these things are intended to be sort of a, you know, you have some of each and you can switch back and forth when you need it. And like the, I presume the things that are sort of inspired by touch will still be able to work with a mouse.
Right.
You know, I don't know. We'll see how it all comes out. There's certainly some potential there. I mean, some of the interface elements that have come from, you know, the iPad and iPhone and other touch interfaces are pretty decent and will probably help on the desktop experience. I don't know. It all depends on the execution. I just hope they don't go overboard on it, because I really think these are distinct things that, you know, you need a lot of, I mean, and we've said before, a lot of people may not even need desktops or laptops anymore, but for those who do need them, they need a variety of stuff that they can do that you just can't do on a tablet, and they're, you know, better ways to access it. I don't know.
Well, we were having this discussion, actually. I had one of our regional vice presidents, was coming over, and you know, he arrives at we were in this meeting, you know, so he pulls out, he's traveling with an iPad, a BlackBerry, I think he had an Android phone, and his laptop, right? and I'm like, Jesus Christ, I mean, all of this shit. And he's like saying, well, you know what, I'm trying to actually, just migrate to just using the iPad. But I don't think I've gotten there yet, though, I said. And I'm like, you know, but you've got a number of people that are trying that. And I think the one thing is, I guess if you got that as a new job and what they handed you was an iPad as the device, you probably would be already used to doing it, you know, and you wouldn't be struggling with that change. However, I think it's a little bit – sometimes when you're used to working one way, it's, like, difficult to just change completely your method of work. I mean, one of the things I face on a regular basis, like, I try to migrate attorneys, for example, from working on totally paper – to tablets or other stuff or devices or whatever, and you get some guys that are very that want to jump into it. But I'll tell you what, when you've been working like for 10, 15 years, you know, this other way, fuck, man, you know, some people just they're just like, no, just leave me working as I'm working right now. I don't want to change everything as how I do it. You know.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of behaviors in general. You know, and this applies to lots of things, not just tablets. You know, it's going to be the people who are already doing it are going to continue doing it the way they've always done it until they retire and die, you know, but the new people starting out are going to have an entirely different mindset, an entirely different way of looking at things, an entirely different set of tools that they're comfortable with. And that's, you know, that's normal. That's how things are, I guess, you know? And, you know, people have said similar things about, you know, scientific theories. You know, when a new theory comes along, how does it actually end up winning? The people who supported the old theory die, you know?
Yeah, well, that's one way of doing it. Yeah. Or you can kill them.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I don't know. And I'm somewhat wary about like some of the things too. I mean, like, you know, I wouldn't want the iPhone's completely locked in method of you can only get Apple approved stuff on there unless you jailbreak, you know, to apply, you know, to my Mac, you know?
But if I'm honest right now, for 98% of the people, that is probably the safest method of computing.
Oh, absolutely. You're right.
You know, I saw all these malware scares, all these hacks, all this shit going on, all these fucking incidents going on with people like, let's face it, a whole bunch of them happened because people went and like downloaded stuff that they got through an email or something or whatever, and they were able to install it. And like, and you know what? 98% of these fucking incidents could be avoided if you just migrated to that method. Okay?
You're right. Right? You are absolutely right. You are absolutely right that, you know, for almost everybody, it would be absolutely fine. And they'd get to do everything they wanted to do. And the things that they're missing, they wouldn't even know they're missing and they wouldn't care. And meanwhile, they'd be a lot safer and their stuff would be safer. And, you know,
I mean, look at I guess the incident, I don't know if you know, it's one thing. I guess we didn't talk about this earlier, but I don't know. You saw this incident where Google said that a number of email accounts.
Oh, yes.
From
high administration officials.
Yes, were accessed. And it seems like, I'm not sure. I think if I understood it, it may have been a little bit of like social engineering. You know, somehow they got emails or stuff or whatever. You know, it's just, I mean, I don't know. It just seems like, you know, we were talking about this whole thing of passwords and two-factor authentication thing, and then, you know, then who was it? Lockheed?
Yeah.
Or went and, like, had to wind up replacing everybody's freaking
secure ID stuff.
Secure IDs because, I don't know, some hacking attempt into their system. And I'm just like, man, I mean, I don't know. Then I saw that Nintendo announced this morning that they couldn't get in. I don't know. I think either we do something where we need to migrate. I think two things.
Yes, two things. Are you gone again? Hello?
Hello.
Dude, you keep hanging up on me.
I'm sorry. I'm just being stupid. Anyway, I think that the two ways of making computing safer. I mean, we need some kind of authentication system that doesn't rely on a whole bunch of this shit, number one. Number two, I mean, this whole, you know, having these closed systems that most people, you know, just can't install anything, you know, unless it's through a freaking authorized, you know, method of, you know, of getting the software, I mean, is the only fucking way to go. I mean, I just, you know, this week I started getting, you know, from somebody, I guess that they must have installed gotten one of these malware bots that uses their fucking computer and starts sending out emails.
Yep.
I'm getting all these fucking emails from some asshole who obviously installed one of these on his computer and been getting all this fucking crap to, like, I don't know, get Viagra and bullshit and stuff. And I'm just like, oh, this fucking idiot, really. I didn't even know him that well, for God's sake. I never liked him. Didn't know him that well. Somehow he's got my fucking email address, and I gotta go this fucking Viagra emails. And I'm like, really? You know? Fuck. Hey, jeez. All right.
I mean, as a tangent on that kind of thing, an interesting study came out a couple weeks ago where somebody actually went through and, you know, tried to figure out the life cycle of, you know, spammers and how they make money and such. And, you know, what they did was they actually, you know, bought, you know, a bunch of stuff advertised in spam and traced the financial transactions and what banks they went through and things like that. And
okay, interesting.
And you know, they found like there were a couple banks in, you know, I'm gonna forget which country, somewhere in Eastern Europe, that like a lot of this stuff was getting funneled through. And and you know, surprisingly enough, they actually got the stuff they ordered. It actually eventually arrived. And they tracked where it came from and all kinds of stuff. But basically their conclusions were, you know, all of this other anti-spam, you know, stuff, you know, is completely ineffective. The only way to really shut them down or to have any impact is to go after their banking, you know, and,
yeah,
you know.
I mean, yeah, stop the money flow. You stop, you cut off the money flow and you're done. Right. I agree.
Anyway. Anything else from D? I know we've had several different topics that are all sort of encapsulated in D, but
I mean, there was some conversation regarding whether we're in a new tech bubble. Okay?
Ah, yes. So let's actually do this. We've had sort of, you know, you've hung up on me a couple times, but let's take an actual break. And I think we'll make this break the poem of the week, since we've been going a little while. Enjoy your poem, and we'll be back, and we'll talk about the new tech bubble, or lack thereof, or presence thereof. Enjoy your poem.
This is the Curmudgeon's Corner Poem of the Week, brought to you by Notel Motel.
If I Were King of the Poetry World, by Sally Van Doren. I would eat tapeworm and not get sick. I would buy a Fendi bag. I would pose naked for the cover of Vanity Fair with the words of one of my poems covering my privates. I would stay home and write more poetry. I would be able to hold my head up high in my bathroom. I would grocery shop while always checking over my shoulder for the paparazzi. I would be invited to be on Oprah with the king of the liposuction world. I would go to a party with JF and pretend I did not know who he was. I would sneeze and the 400,000 other poets in the world would say, God bless you. I would be commissioned to write a new innovative edition of the Bible. My dog would become a spokesperson for the anti-fur movement. My children would be given backstage passes to the next U2 concert. My husband would have to sit back and watch all the 200,000 male poets in the world lust after me. I would not sleep with any of them. I would think about sleeping with some of them. I would organize one large orgy for all poets and their willing spouses and significant others. I would pour champagne in my underwear. I would stop speaking to everyone I knew before I became king. I would speak to a therapist daily about power management issues. I would run away from myself whenever I saw me coming.
For more like this, go to notelmotel.org with a new poet each week and a new poem every weekday.
Okay, we're back. It was an exciting poem.
So let me ask this question, okay? So you don't know the answer to this either. What the hell does Groupon do?
Okay. I think I actually know what Groupon does, although I have never actually used it. But basically, They have a localized thing. So, like, it's like Groupon's for your city. So, it, like, you know, what you're going to get in Seattle is not the same as what you're going to get in Miami. Okay?
Okay.
And every day, they have, like, essentially a coupon that you can buy or take advantage of or something. I don't know exactly how the economics of it work, but then, you know, and these are like major discounts off of, and I'm going to Groupon.com right now to like try it out. It has me confirm my city. Then I have to enter an email, which I don't really want to do because I don't want their things. And then there's another step after that, which I'm not going to see because I'm not going to give them my email. But, anyway, I think it's like, you know, you get
you can
like
put my favorite. You can put my favorite email address. You can put up at yours.com.
See if that screw works. It. I'll sign up. Let's see. And there are a bunch of these. There are a bunch of, you know, there's Groupon, there's Living Social, you know, a certain other company just launched one a little while ago. Okay, so I logged in. I gave it my address. I confirmed I'm in Seattle. So right now, the offer is apparently Omsho Chrysalis Seattle. Only for $17, I can get an Ionic Foot Detox, which is a $38.25 value, and I can buy this deal. So, like, I can buy this for $17, and then I can, you know, go get this.
There you go. Hello.
Hello again. So,
hello?
After... Can you hear me?
Yes. So you had an Ionic Foot...
So... After Yvonne hung up on me twice, then my internet went out and I had to reboot my stupid DSL modem. Anyway, yes, some stupid foot thing. But anyway, it's the idea is you have a big deal of the day and apparently a whole bunch of other deals of local businesses that you have. Basically, you can buy a coupon. This Ionic Foot Detox is going
to
cost
you
$17.
You have to buy the coupon?
Well, you buy the deal. So, like, I pay the $17
you buy
for this, and then I can go in with my coupon and get the service or whatever it is. So I'm looking down a list here, and aside from the Ionic bullshit, there's $10 for $20 worth of Chicago-style hot dogs somewhere, $14 for $35 worth of dry cleaning, kind of nail services at some spa. $90 for a summer glass blowing class, $180 value, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
All kinds of stuff like that. And you sign up and you get the deals that are in your local area. And so from what I've heard though, and Groupon had a big IPO, or announced that they
actually
were.
They haven't. They filed. They announced that they will.
Right. So,
right.
But
the one
the
thing
is
that there's a lot of people that.
Yeah, they're hemorrhaging.
They're losing
money.
A lot of money.
Yeah, right. There's some people that are calling
some
this
people
thing a Ponzi
scheme. That's right. Pretty much.
You know, because basically, you know, they're, I guess, are they picking up the difference between the real price and the sale price? I don't know what they're doing. Yeah. You know.
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out. It doesn't look like it, but I'm not sure. I mean, well, that's kind of like one of the things. I don't know if you recall, but in the early days of Priceline, they were doing a lot of that. Okay, at Priceline, they were absorbing, like, you know, or basically just writing people checks. Okay,
right.
Just for them to take their shit. It was like, I think. You know, even though there is this, I mean, this company, apparently I'm looking at the revenues, they still have close to $1 billion in revenue. Now, the fact that they're not making money and it's early in its infancy, I mean, you know, does it make it is this a bubble, I guess, is the question. I think that...
Well, the question, the basic this is a bubble question, is just, is everybody, you know, can be asked, without even analyzing the companies themselves, you look at the motivations of the people investing in it. Is everybody
right.
investing in it because they expect the price to go up extravagant amounts of money, as opposed to looking at the company itself and looking at potential future revenue streams that might blah, 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 blah. Anything real, in other words. Are they actually looking at, you know, hey, this company's got a good business model and they're going to be making a bunch of money and someday in the future they'll be, like, giving dividends or whatever. Or are they just saying, you know, everybody's jumping on this. I need to jump on it too because, you know, I'm going to buy it now at 10 and be able to sell it at 30 in 3 months, you know.
Well, I think the thing that happened, like, in the last few weeks was that LinkedIn had their IPO,
right.
And that IPO went bonkers.
Right.
I mean, the thing went from, like, $15 to $100 in the same day. Now,
Well, and
look, LinkedIn.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people have also put that as like the bankers screwed them because LinkedIn got the stupid $15 price where they obviously could have priced it much higher.
Yeah, that's much is certain. I think that you know, you look at LinkedIn though. I mean, this is an ongoing business with profitability and stuff and whatever and the whole nine yards. And I mean, is that, you know, people are trying to gauge and value it at some point, you know, at some value. And like the question is whether, you know, I mean, if you look at it, you know, it's got a pretty solid business model. I mean, they're making a good amount of money. They've got great market share in the area that they are. You know, shit, almost everybody I know uses the damn thing.
Well, what I've heard from people, like, frankly, I don't get it because I'm not the deal kind of shopper. Like, I'm not going to look at a list of deals and say, ooh, that's a good deal, I'm going to buy it. I'm going to wait until I figure out that I need something.
A lot of people that are coupon making.
No, I know. That's the thing. Like, I'm not that kind of shopper, but there are lots of people who are, and I've heard a lot of people say they swear by these kinds of deal sites because there's not just Groupon and Living Social and blah, blah, blah. There's like dozens and dozens of these where you can find like the deal and, you know, compare coupons and compare prices and all this kind of stuff and, you know, get today's big savings. And, you know, there are a lot of people who base their shopping off of sales and stuff like that. Now, I frankly just don't understand it. I don't shop that way. But lots and lots of people do. So, I mean, maybe there's something to all this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So, So bottom line is that I don't think that – I think that a lot of people – and Mark Andreessen mentioned that D was just the fact that – I mean, he doesn't think that right now we're in a bubble because I guess one of the things he said is that, you know, usually the one thing about a bubble that happens is like, you know, nobody thinks it's a bubble. Okay. Yeah. It's like, or very few people. Like the fact that I think that we have most people asking whether this is a bubble probably is a good indicator that it's not.
Well, okay? You know, I'd like to counter that because I actually I saw something and I'm not going to be able to find it, of course. But just a few weeks ago, I found something that looked at the prevalence of searching for the phrase, is this a bubble, on Google over the last few years, looking at both the real estate market and the original dot-com bubble in 2001 or whenever it was. And, you know, right before it pops, a lot of people are thinking that. Because what it is everybody's like, you know, everybody knows it's probably a bubble, but doesn't want to be the first one to get off because then they're the sucker who didn't catch the last 50 to 100% of the bubble or whatever. You know, because.
Right.
You know, so you get the situation where everybody sort of knows, yeah, this is unsustainable. This is like crazy. But like, we're making crap loads of money. I can't get out now. We're making crap loads of money. We'll wait till it actually starts going down. And then at some point, everybody sort of collectively is like, oh my God, look how high up we are. And then you get the crash.
Right.
You know, but people know, I mean, really, I mean, and I think fundamentally, like, I don't know, we're seeing really, really fast growth in prices for a lot of things. Some stocks, some commodities, some other stuff. And I don't know that any of that's sustainable. I don't know. Some of it undoubtedly is. Some of it undoubtedly is. But
well, some things are. But, I mean, the stock market right now has spent about the last 5 weeks down. Okay, all right, you know, it's like one of the longest losing streaks in a long time.
Right.
So that's one thing, as an overall market. There are certain items which prices have been rising, but, I mean, given some of the concerns that there are about the economy in the U.S., worldwide economy, and the debt crisis in Europe and other places, et cetera, and so forth, it just doesn't – I mean – even if there are like pockets of areas that are experiencing like, you know, surges in prices, it just doesn't seem like it's a generalized phenomenon.
Yeah,
even like in the technology industry in general. I mean, you know, if you remember, like when we had a tech bubble, I mean, every freaking stock in
earlier, like Apple's been going through the roof. But if you're Microsoft or Intel, you're not all that happy.
No, you're not all that happy at all. And even like Apple, like over the last, like, I'd say 6 months, the price has been pretty trading in a band.
Right.
You know, like it hasn't like moved like between $330, $360 a share. Google has been pretty much like that for the last 2 years.
I'm just going to say this and put this out there. Exponential growth, by definition, is not sustainable forever. You know, and everybody seems to be in the mindset that, you know, the economy should grow by X percent a year, or, you know, the company X to be healthy should grow by X percent a year. Well, no, at some point when something's new, okay, it's going to grow exponentially for a while. But at some point, the healthy thing is actually to level off and stop growing. And that applies to everything.
Well, it's one of the things that I was like, I remember I got into a discussion like about 7 or 8 years ago where, you know, this is like when Dell was the darling of the stock market, you know, and, people are like, oh, well, you know, the Dell model, Dell, they're going through the roof. And I'm like, you know, and I go and I say, you know, I'm sorry, the business strategy of Dell is what? Keep reducing prices to zero and they think demand is going to rise to infinity? You know what? What they think they found some magic formula nobody else found? It doesn't work that way. I mean, you know, you can't create perpetual growth simply out of, you know, a business model that involves no innovation whatsoever, and all you're doing is like reducing costs and like selling more supposedly because this is some kind of a competitive advantage. Over the long run, operational efficiency is not a competitive advantage. Everybody can match it, okay? It's not a patent. You can't, you know, it's not an original product. You can't trade it. Anybody can go in and just copy the fucking thing. And, you know, as it happened like a couple of years later, and Dell just was fucking like falling off a cliff in that period of time. I mean, it's just, you know, people get frustrated when stuff doesn't keep growing, like at surging at 40%, 50%, 70%, 80% every fucking year. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you get to a business model and all of a sudden you level off, you've gotten the market, and maybe you'll get some additional improvement in profit from operational efficiency or things like that. But, you know, stuff's levels off unless you come up with a new innovation. Or maybe not. Maybe the business eventually will fall into a decline.
Well, and that's part of the natural cycle, too. If you don't sort of switch up what you're doing, I mean, things come and go. That's natural, too.
Yeah.
You know?
You know? I mean, you look at a company like... hello?
Yeah, I'm still here. Are you still here?
Okay, no, you look at a company like... No, yeah, I'm still here. You look at companies like... IBM, IBM's been around for over 100 years.
Right.
I mean, you think about what they sold 100 years ago to what they sell now, it's got nothing to do with it. I mean, these are so fucking punch cards.
What they sell now isn't even related to what they were selling 15 years ago, you know?
The bulk of their revenue, the majority of their revenues do not come from shit that they did 20 or 30 years ago. You know, that's just the reality of a business, and most businesses that have not adapted well to that, either have failed, folded, or just shrunk, into irrelevance to a certain extent. So, it is what it is. So, anyway,
nothing disappears completely. I remember there was an investigation done a while ago from somebody who was doing an investigation of trying to identify some human technology that had been developed that didn't exist at all anymore, you know? He failed. I mean, because even if something goes out of popular use, there's typically still some esoteric group that still does it. You know, and some examples are, you know, there's still companies that make swords. There is still one company in the United States that makes buggy whips. I remember because it was a couple miles from someplace my mom used to live. You know, all of these, you know, there's like, you know, tools for doing farming by hand instead of by machine. They're still out there. You know, not very many people use them, but, you know, it's not a big mega industry anymore, but the technology exists, you know. Anyway, let's take one quick break and then come back really fast, talk about cell phones, and then I think we're done, because we've been going on a while. Okay, we'll leave the WWDC stuff till after WWDC actually happens. Okay, we'll be right back after this exciting message.
This is a break, oh yes, this is a break. This is a break, because no one gave me any suggestions. I told you, I warned you. So this is a break, this is a wonderful break, a wonderful break. Yes, indeed, this is a break. This is a break in the middle of Curmudgeon's Corner. Yes, this is a break. Yes, this is a break. Break, 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 break. Yes, this is a break. Yes, this is a break. Break, 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 break. Yes, it is a break. And now the break is over.
And here we are. So I just...
Are you all excited?
I am very excited.
The message...
Yes,
okay,
it was very exciting. So I just wanted to briefly touch on this cell phone thing because I think it's – I mean you had the – first of all, the World Health Organization, who really should know better, you know, put out a statement saying that they had put cell phones on in whatever category – I forget what they call it – but as a potential carcinogen, I think is what it was. And – now, if you look at all the studies that have been done about this for the last few decades, what the WHO said it was inconclusive whether there was an effect. And what that means is that every study done so far shows that whatever degree of effect might exist is within the margin of error of zero. So there may not be an effect. And if there is an effect, by the way, it's extremely small. They have narrowed those error bars down over the years, so it's tiny. I mean, basically the category they put this in is we can't prove with 100% certainty that this never, ever in the history of anything would ever cause a single instance of cancer. It's not in the same category as... cigarettes or various other things that have been proved conclusively to cause increased risk of cancer. No, instead,
you know,
it's in the same category as coffee. And
but this is, you know, this kind of bullshit. This is like, I can't prove conclusively that God does not exist, and I can't prove conclusively that I don't know there's a whole bunch of shit in life, bottom line, is what I'm saying. You can't prove conclusively one way or another.
Meanwhile, there have been a number of you know, physicists and scientists of various sorts saying at the same time that there is no known physical mechanism that could, from the radiation that's caused by a cell phone, from the specific type of radiation, which is basically radio waves we're talking about here, there's no known mechanism.
Which, by the way, I'm bouncing around the fucking planet, like, all over, even without anything happening. But
so,
I digress.
And of course, you know, the actual original press release from the WHO said some of this stuff and had some of these caveats. But of course, the media, for... has been going nuts about, okay, well, if you want to take precautions, don't hold your cell phone to your ear, use a wired headset, blah, 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 blah. You know, I use a wired headset anyway because I like it better, but...
It's like me issuing a press release, and, like, the press release says something like, you know... Our company has been doing a whole bunch of analysis, blah, blah, blah. We have learned a lot or whatever. I think that Barack Obama is a fucking asshole. What are they going to focus on? Okay, all right, in the middle of it. They're going to skip all the analysis, all the stuff or whatever. They're going to focus on that one phrase. Everything else is going to be ignored. And that's it. And that's what they did with the stupid press release.
Yeah. So, I don't know why the WHO chose to do this at this point. I mean, it's like, it just seems so irresponsible.
Well, they have nothing better to do.
I guess so. But, I mean, it seems so incredibly irresponsible to take something where the vast majority of the evidence shows nothing. That there's nothing to worry about here at all. And to do something like this that's just going to hype and scare people. Now, I understand there's some things that, you know, if they're extremely long-term effects that take, you know, decades to come about, maybe there's something that hasn't been detected yet, although, like I said, there's no physical mechanism known. However, at the same time, people are worried about brain cancer here. The use of cell phones in the last few decades has absolutely exploded from being something that only a very, very small number of people ever used and didn't use that often because it was expensive, to something that, you know, is commonplace. And, you know, in developed countries and even some non-developed countries, cell phones are, like, ubiquitous.
Sam? Are you in there? Oh, yeah, by the way. Hello?
This is getting ridiculous. Hello?
Kidnapper.
Hey, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Sam.
Yes?
Hello?
Yes?
Hello?
Can you hear me now?
What the hell's going on?
I don't know. Can you?
Why can't you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hello?
Can you hear me now?
Okay, hang on. Give me, like, 10 seconds and then try again.
Okay.
Hello?
Now can you hear me?
Hello? Yeah, okay, all right.
what a ridiculous show.
We have been experiencing technical difficulties. Please, you know, to put... Well...
Anyway,
look, these
all I was saying is this is ridiculous.
Our own difficulties, you know, caused us to lose entire segments. So far, as far as I can tell, we haven't lost anything. So
no, I don't think we've lost a thing.
Okay, so so you were saying before we got summarily disrupted. The cell phone's bullshit. This is just, you know, ridiculous.
Yeah, this is just bullshit scaremongering and, you know, It's absolutely appalling that a major health organization would take something where the absolute predominance of the evidence is that there's nothing there to worry about and make scare everybody, you know. And yes, it is certainly true that there have been things in the past where they've been out there for a while before people realized there was a problem. But in the case of cell phones, and specifically with brain cancer, you know, what I was starting to say is, you know, cell phones have gone from something that was a very niche thing that very few people had, to something that is absolutely everywhere over the last few decades. And in the same time period, the incidence of the brain cancers that people are worried about have gone down. You know, it seems incredibly unlikely that there's anything going on here. And as I said, there's no known physical mechanism that would do it. That doesn't mean there might not be some unknown physical mechanism, but the evidence here is so far against this being a problem. You know, this is the kind of thing you heard from the same kind of people who were going on about vaccines causing autism, which is another thing that is complete bullshit. But it's the stupid World Health Organization. Come on, really? Anyway.
Well, let's just say I've used one of these for like 26 years right now. I don't know. We'll see how my cancer develops. So.
Well, and I'll tell you, mine spends more time in my pocket than next to my head. So.
Well, I actually don't have a headset or any of that. Well, okay, so you're gonna get cancer in your balls?
Maybe.
Maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's a problem. They're studying the wrong type of cancer. It's testicular cancer they got to be worried about, not so much brain cancer.
And so, but okay. Yeah, I use a wired headset because I like it better. Like, I tried wireless headsets. They were stupid, and I always had to be charging them and blah, blah, blah.
That's the problem with wireless headsets.
Ever since I had the iPhone, I can't stand holding that thing to my head. Yeah, I don't know why. I just can't. I like, if I'm talking on the phone to somebody and I don't have my headset, I'm like, give me a second. Let me put my headset on, because I just don't like it. And I don't know why, but it's more comfortable to me holding it and using the headset, the wired headset. And that's how I usually do it anyway. But it's certainly not because I'm afraid it's going to fry my brain.
I certainly find actually the iPhone quite comfortable to use as a phone placed against your ear, and that's how I.
Well, you know, one of the big things for me is, like, if I've got it next to my ear, I can't be looking at it doing things on it.
Well, that's true. I mean, that is one thing, but I mean, I use it all sorts of ways. Bluetooth in the car. I do use the headset occasionally, and I'll use it to my ear. I'll use it or the speaker on the phone. You know, yeah. Use that. All right, we're done. We're out.
Okay, we are done.
We are so done. Okay. You know, Curmudgeon's Corner number 200 plus
whatever.
Something.
Yeah. Okay.
Something.
Thanks, everybody. As usual, email me, ablesmay@ablesmay.com. We'd love to hear from you. And tell us what you like, what you don't like. Make fun of us for our technical difficulties. And tell your friends to listen and tune in next week. We're out of here. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.